Okay, we're on page 160, top left column. Shula Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Pirish. The meaning is Ki La'olam Yesh Teshuva. There is always Teshuva. Af Mishuhu Tzadik. Even one who is a Tzadik can do Teshuva. Ad Hashem Elokecha. All the way until Hashem Elokecha. What does that mean, Pirish? Ad. Lihios Merkava Elav Yisbarach Mamash, until a person is actually a vehicle for Hashem's expression. So it's saying this is how far it goes. The tshuva on certain levels for people who have averos, that's to correct what we did wrong in our averos. And then for people who don't really have averos, or certainly according to their madrega maybe it is, but not what we would identify as one, they're getting closer and closer to Hashem until they're actually almost like a conduit for the expression of Hashem's Ratzon in the world. That's Ad Hashem Elokecha. They go so close to Hashem that they're right up there, so to speak, and Hashem's Ratzon then expresses itself through them.
Might there be that we could say that the double meaning of the word Ein Galen, that when you're Ad, when you're at this place, that's when you're fit to be an aid. That's when you're
to Hashem.
Yeah.
Okay. Ukefi tikun hachet b'teshuva tzrichin achar kach l'shuv b'teshuva mechadash. As according to the degree that one is misaken his chet with teshuva, so also we need afterwards to do a new type of teshuva.
Sit with us, I'll get you a
safer. And so always.
I'll get you a cappuccino.
Yeah, come sit.
On page 160, top left column. Such a difficult statement. He's saying something like this. According to the degree that one is misaken their chet in teshuva, so after that, they have to do a renewed tshuva. Let's see for a minute. V'chein le'olam, and so always. V'ksiv, and it is written, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. Bring us close to you, Hashem, and then we will do tshuva. Im kvar yiskariv ha'adam v'yashuv la'Hashem mahu v'nashuva. So the question on this pasuk is, if we have already been brought back to Hashem, then what is the second word, v'nashuva? Mm-hmm. It goes like this. If you look back at that pasuk, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha, return us to you. So we're returned. So what is then the meaning of the next word? V'nashuva. And then we will return. V'chein hu hadavar asher divarnu. But this is what, as we're speaking about. Ki be'emes ikor ha-teshuva achar tikun hachei. The ikor of teshuva, I have to say this, have to be for very great people, would be after the one has rectified their chet, that he's karvuso la Hashem, and then they've drawn close to Hashem, uz tzorech l'shuv, then it's time to do the real teshuva.
He's saying that, you, first of all, I guess he's saying you have to do teshuva first, to get close.
Fix up your chet.
To fix your chet, to get close to Hashem.
Right.
And once you're close to Hashem,
now you can really
it's time to do...
That's right. And that was the meaning of that verse, of that phrase above, where he said, according to the degree that you are misaken your chet with tshuva, that means that you've rectified the sin, then afterwards you do a new teshuva. That was the meaning of that statement. Now, the Baal Tanya talks about this also in the Likutei Arvarim, and he says that, it brings a nice mashal, that when something is wrong between people, there's something wrong in a relationship. So you may be able to make amends, you know, and basically bring things back to a good place. Because following that, though, one person may give a gift to the other person, because that's an expression of goodwill. So even after the wrongdoing has been forgiven, but you want to achieve a state of goodwill in the other person's eyes, so you give a matana. There's a type of tshuva even after the chet has been fixed, where you want to do something even more than that, you know, to draw closer to Hashem in His favor. And this level of teshuva here, even after the chet is being misukan. V'hem beis ha-teshuvos, miyura miyava. And these are the two types of tshuva, one out of awe for God and the other out of love, yira and ava. Ki mikodem tzrichim lashuv miyura safei. First a person has to do tshuva out of a sense of yira shei. He's concerned about the averas that he did and their consequences. Levakesh rachamim. And he asks Hashem for rachamim, lehizkariv el habore yisborach, and he's trying to draw near to God. V'charkach kishazochin lehizkariv, then after one has been merited to draw close, tzrichin lashuv al yidei busha, migodol chesed Hashem shemekariv hachote. Then, there's another level which he calls here busha, that one is so in awe of God's kindness that God brings us close to him. So the first kind is that you want to rectify what you did. You did something wrong, an avera. You'd like to take care of it. That's one thing. The second one has to do more with an awesome understanding of the fact that God wants us to be close to him. That brings us into such a level of awe that we do a much more powerful type of tshuva. One is correcting what you've done wrong. The other is in awe of the fact that God wants a relationship with us.
Is that correcting what one has done wrong between people?
Both.
Or also it could be between us?
Both,
okay,
right.
Between
if it's
both.
Between us and Hashem, then that's one thing. And if it's between us and people, then we have to take care of that on our own. Between us and them. And then we approach God too. Vazen ne'amar v'nashuva. And that's the second word there. Hashivenu Hashem Elocha. That means help us to draw close to you, to fix our ways. And then we can really do tshuva. Ubeis ha'teshuva tein bimei ha'ma'asa b'shavas kodesh. Then, of course, the great application of the Sfas Emes, as always, or as often, I should say, that the 6 days of the week in Shabbos Kodesh. That during the 6 days of the week, he's saying we kind of work our way through the world of darkness, and we try and correct what we've done wrong. And then on Shabbos Kodesh, it's the relationship itself, the awesome relationship with God.
In general.
In general, right. One can always achieve relationship on a weekday too, but in general, right.
So is he trying to, can we take from that then, that on Shabbos, in general, any Shabbos, it's easier to do a completer teshuva?
Yeah.
I mean, the gates are open.
Yeah. Yeah. And the word Shabbos contains the word Shav in it, you know, which is teshuva. As far as I'm right, it's related to teshuva.
Hmm. Tisha.
Yes, Tisha would be with the Taf. They focus on the Shin based part. So this is a very important concept here, because in teshuva, this time of year in Yom Kippur, there's of course a lot of focus on bidui, you know, shamnu, baganu, and that's what we have done wrong. Yes. But he said there's a much more fundamental type of tshuva, which is beyond that first tshuva, that has to do with being in relationship with God.
Is this really corresponding to what the Baal Tanya talks about when he talks about tshuva tatava, tshuva ila?
And tshuva ila, yeah. Tshuva ila being, you know, the highest form of tshuva,
yeah.
Right?
Sense of being in a relationship. So it's not like,
right.
It's not just I want to apologize to you.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's why I really want to be close to you.
Yeah, the apology is the beginning.
I can't believe that I would have brought such a thing into our relationship that would cause a distance between us.
Yeah.
I've never thought about it that way. It's always been so much of a struggle to try to get to do the first part.
Well, he did begin by saying that tzaddikim have to do tshuva too, so apparently they've dealt with phase one. We're stuck in phase one.
But it's almost not fair.
But in a certain way, I think it's almost easier to talk about the second one. It's like when you know what you want, you know, it's easier to recognize the avarice and the things that cause damage to it. When you know the kind of love that you want, the kind of connection that you want, Maybe that's what they mean when they talk about the difference between the path of tzaddikim and the path of Balei Tshuvas.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that you would Balei Tshuva being sort of knowing how much damage you can cause and how badly that can feel, and say, you know, I know what it's like to not have that, to be able to say, yeah, I don't want to bring that into my relationship. Please. I don't want to bring that into any relationship.
I'm still lost in the idea of how to do the how to know that you've done the first type of teshuva.
I don't think we can make that assumption. You know, we have to regularly work on it.
Right, but I mean, but you can't do the second part until you do the first part. You know, so I mean,
completely. But I do think that it still applies because we can focus on behavior, you know, and correcting behavior, and we can also focus on relationship, even if we haven't fully corrected our behavior. So we can still be affected by the reality of a relationship with God.
See, my first reaction to what you said, it's almost easier to do the second part, was to agree with you. But now that I think about it, to think about that we're trying to further closeness of a relationship to God is just such an awe. It's just a major type of thing to think about, you know?
It is. A big deal.
Yeah.
I think if you understand that second part, and you can... You understand what it means to go to Hashem, and you can do that, then the first part is much easier. I think the second part is the more difficult part to achieve. And if you can achieve the first part, if you understand what it means to build a relationship with God, and you're working towards that, and everything that you're doing is working towards that, but everything in that first part is already being covered to some extent. And being perfected and being polished, so that when you step back, you have less to step back to.
I think that it's true. The second heart is harder because it is a higher level of teshuva, you know, and it's talking about a really very, very close, relevant relationship with Hashem. It's harder in that respect, but it's a greater accomplishment. At the same time, I think that we have to work very much on both those things.
I think we have to work harder on the first part. It'd be nice to have to work harder on the second part. But I think in reality... Yeah.
And then we have a lot to take care of in me.
Right.
Right. This is kind of a thought, a little bit disconnected, but the same thing, which... Karen and I were talking last night from the Rebbetzin's story, the Maisa, mm-hmm. of the Chernobyl Rebbe with the Esra. Mm-hmm. So what the thought was that what happened after, you know, that he said that, you know, that Shalom Bias isn't going to be taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he really felt that and was honest with that.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know, and I assume, we don't know what happened with the Rebbetzin at the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that realization that she had brought them together on a certain level, mm-hmm. now that the whole thing was done. Whatever she felt, and it seemed to me this kind of fury on some level, but the aftermath of that would be a connection between the two of them that was not there before the whole Maisa happened. So I'm thinking, that's my guess, I don't know. So I'm thinking that, kind of related to this idea, that the action brings a... bring a... reach into my pocket.
Everybody reaches.
I didn't reach. I just wanted to get it off, sorry.
That the action... The wrongdoing brings a second part almost hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that closeness, I think, follows it quickly. I don't know if it's so separated like one and two.
Mm-hmm.
I think that within the recognition of the Avera, there's also the recognition, maybe what you were saying, like the kind of recognition of the distancing, and
mm-hmm.
also then the opening for the other level.
The closeness.
Yeah.
Myself. Okay. Let's take a look at one on, let's see if we can do one on Yom Kippur. And then if we get that, then we'll go do one more on Nitzavim. Nitzavim. I'm sorry, Vayelech. I'm not sure yet.
Have you some orange?
Let's take a look at with page 172 on the right column in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
This is probably some of you. This is an old question.
Yeah.
From your year.
Yeah.
Who compiled this sefer?
This Vasetis?
Is it
probably
by his Hasidim?
Probably a Talmud or even a family member. I'm not sure. I might say at the beginning, but I don't recall that it did.
So this year, you know, like any year, you know, like there are three things that the Rebbe said.
No, but that's what they have. That's what they have. Usually there are many things that were said that were never written down. But that's what they have from that year. It doesn't mean that's all that he said.
Right.
Sometimes it's a Gabbai, sometimes it's a Talmud, sometimes it's a family member within the Chassidus form in general. Then you have others that are written from the Ksav Yad, the Mechaber, himself, like the Baal Tanya wrote his sefer. And some of the Ma'amorim and others for him are written Ksav Yad.
Was he alive when this was
published? Was the Farsamis alive? I don't know if he was alive when it was published.
He saw.
Yeah, I really don't know, and that's a good question. I'm not sure. Yeah.
This is tough race.
I don't believe so. I think it was published like the last year of his life somewhere. I heard a biography.
There's something about Sfas Emes Tikkun L'Av, relationship to it, right?
Yeah. And I think that's why it was called the Sfas Emes, because he died like the week it was published or something like that.
Tough race, Nun Aleph, Bruce said, the second one in Tough race, Nun Aleph. After Yom Kippurim Yimei Simcha, after Yom Kippur, we have days of joy, which is Sukkot. Dixit, as it's written, Echol b'simcha, eat with joy, lachmacha, your bread, v'shasei b'yem b'lev tov yeinecha, and drink with a good heart your wine.
That's from Mishle, right?
I think so. Ki kvar ratzah elokim, because actually, I'm not sure. We can look it up afterwards, I don't know what it is. Because Hashem has already ratzah, he has been appeased. In regards to your transgression. My lashon kvar, right? So what is the lashon here of kvar, that Hashem has already been appeased, already reached a state of ratzon? Why not just ki ratzah hu Elokim? Ach ba'emes b'nei Yisrael, ikor baka shosam mechila uslicha. The essence of the Jewish people's request or desire to be forgiven, is so that we can serve God with a pure heart. So that's a beautiful concept, that we're not just saying forgive us so we can be okay, so we'll take care of ourselves, but we're saying forgive us so we can serve you properly. We can serve you with a pure heart. That's why we want to be forgiven. Kind of goes back to that first concept, that we want the slicha mechila so we can further the relationship. As it says that with you, Hashem, is forgiveness in order that you shall be feared, meaning we want to be forgiven so we can reach a greater level of yira with you. Therefore, after Yom Kippur, when averus have been forgiven and our nefeshos have been purified, therefore, we immediately want to engage ourselves in avodas Hashem b'simcha. Lachmacha yenecha hu Torah u'mitzvot. And when the pasuk says, "Have your bread and have your wine," that refers to Torah and mitzvot. V'yidei sha'ovdin achar kach b'simcha. After Yom Kippur, if we serve God with joy, that's a siman that when we ask forgiveness, it was really a pure request. If we take that day of forgiveness and follow it with a joyful avodas Hashem, that shows why we were asking forgiveness in the first place. So Sukkot is the aftermath of Yom Kippur to kind of prove out what we really were searching for to begin with. Not just to clean up our act, but to serve God with joy. It's a nice common sense. Mm-hmm. But Kadosh Baruch Hu Sheroa Asidas, Mitzarif HaVodah Sa'adam, Achar HaKapora, L'chaper Lo Bizchu Ser. This is a beautiful concept, we talked about that. Hashem sees into the future. So he may take something that we're going to do in the future that he knows we're going to do, that we haven't done yet, and he will use that as a chus for us in the present, even though it hasn't occurred yet. But God knows that in 2 weeks we're going to do a certain mitzvah, so right now, in the present, the chus of that mitzvah can help me. So Hashem is not bound by time.
It's like a credit card.
Right.
You get spiritual interest.
Right. So Hashem sees the asidos, he sees the future. He joins the avoda of a person in the future that we're going to do after he forgives us, and he helps that to be part of the process of forgiveness itself. So saying Hashem sees what we're going to do on Sukkot, right? Before Yom Kippur, God sees that, and seeing what we're going to do on Sukkot, that helps us to be forgiven on Yom Kippur.
It doesn't work both ways.
Well, sure,
hopefully.
Sure, it does go always.
Things that we're not going to do on Sukkot.
Oh, that part?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I hope that it doesn't work both ways.
I don't think Hashem would do that, Jeff.
Yeah. Nothing retroactive in that way. Good.
So now that's how he touches the pasuk. V'zehu ki kavar retza. That's what he wants to say. He has already forgiven. That's kavar. Shazu avoda b'simcha kavar niskabel afon v'sborah. Because that which we're doing now on Sukkot, we think it's the first time we did it, right? We just got here. No, God already considered that at Yom Kippur. You know, he already knew what you were going to do. It's Kavar. What you're doing right now is Kavar.
But listen, if that's on Sukkot, and Sukkot is after Yom Kippur.
Right.
It's after Rosh Hashanah. It's the new year. Mm-hmm. So we're getting a merit for what we're doing the year before, which was, we're right now.
Yom Kippur is already in the new year.
But right now, but aren't we being judged for the past?
For the past year.
So we're being judged for the past year.
On future merit.
And the year to come, aren't we also using this future merit, which is now present merit, for that? So in a sense, we're getting it for 2 years. It's a connection to 2 years.
You're saying Hashem's double dipping? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying Hashem's being really kind to us and giving, and he's, and we're, but there seems to be a link between the 2 years too.
Right, I agree.
What I was thinking as you were saying that is that normally time is bound by the law of cause and effect, but here you have the effect, so to speak, before the cause. It's sort of a demonstrable pattern of coming from something beyond time.
These are real outer.
He said just a few times in Tzvaisem this concept. Mm-hmm. We talked about it once, that Avram Avinu, who was the beginning of the 2,000 years of Torah, he was the beginning of Shnei Alefim Torah, that he was affected by the Matan Torah that was going to occur in the future.
Right.
Because it's light, wherever it stands in time, it shines in all directions. Yeah. So it's shown backward too.
But so he was those timeless moments, so to speak, radiate through time.
Right. Let's do one more on Vayelech.
Can I borrow your pen?
Yes, you can. Take a look there, see?
The little deer going down there?
Yeah. If you turn around, it'll go down the other way.
Oh, thank you.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah. Sorry, Nissan, you can't see this deer, but it is cute.
Okay, I think there's just a couple. I think Vayelech is short, yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's a Colorado deer.
Mm-hmm.
A deer, it's a moose.
Could be a moose.
It's a moose.
This is the second part of that. I keep encouraging that
Let's take a look at this on page 132, the right column on the bottom. The year Tavshin Nun Zayin.
Wait, this isn't Rosh Hashanah.
Tavresh Lamed Zayin. In Vayela, Parshas Vayela, right.
There you go.
Tavresh Lamed Zayin, that's 1877. The Pasuk Lo Tishkach Mipi Zara. The Pasuk says the Torah will not be forgotten from his children. Pirush Rashi, Havtacha Shein HaTorah Mishtachachas. This is a Havtacha that the Torah will not be forgotten. This, by the way, this is a remez to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The Zohar says, because ki lo sishachach mipi zaro, the last letter of each word spells Yochai. And the Zohar says that that is a remez to the fact that it's through the Torah of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that the Torah will never be forgotten from the Jewish people. So Rashi says, "Harezu havtacha," that this is a promise li Yisrael, to the Jewish people. She'ein Torah mishtachachas mizaram legamer, that the Torah will never be completely forgotten by the children of the ancestors. Never. That's the Rashi quotes. Ach kasiv mipi zaro. It does say mipi, right, from the mouth of the children. Right? So what's the focus on mipi? V'tzrichim lishmor hapeh. The idea is that we have to watch our mouth. V'hu shmiras hevel halev. Penimiyu shalo adam. V'chein kasiv sima b'fihem. He says, guarding your mouth here, he takes that to mean the inner breath of the heart within a human being, as it says about the Torah, place it in their mouth. So he's saying it's not just watching your words. It means watching the source of where your words come from, which is your heart.
I never noticed before that Hevel and Halev are the same
letters. Same words, same letters, right. V'hu inyan Torah sheba'al peh, and this idea of where the words come from, right, the source of the words, this is a concept of Torah sheba'al peh. Pirish Baal Peh, what does that mean, Baal Peh? Mishahu Shalit Berucho, a person who's Baal Peh, right? He's the master of his mouth. That's a very beautiful pshat.
Yeah.
Baal Peh. He's the master of his mouth. Vishomer HaPnimius, and he knows how to protect the inner content of his words. Kamo Shekostav Lael, Pirish HaChosem Bator, as we wrote earlier about Chosem Bator, which I'm not familiar with. The Torah Shabichsav, the Torah Shabichsav, that's a concept of opening, right? That opens the mouth. That's the key. But the source of the words, that's within the heart. Behainu Kamosha Kosuv, Kosfeim Aluach Libecha, write them on the tablet of your heart. Shema Shalom Me Nichnas Ba'oma Kalev, Mikra Torah Shabichsav. Right, so, I said it the other way around. This Torah Shabichsav, that's what goes into your heart and opens it up. Torah Shabichsav finds its way into your heart and opens up your heart. Then the Torah Sheba Al Peh takes that which is within your heart and it expresses it outward. So when it says write them on the tablet of your heart, that means embedding the words of Torah on our inner being and expressing those words, that's Torah Sheba Al Peh. And when it says to watch the mouth, it refers to watching over the source of the words that are within our heart.
The Shem Yishmol has a Torah where he talks about how the similar idea, the importance of learning after davening. He says, because the Torah is compared to to stone. And he says, and after davening, it's like your heart has been soft, so it can be inscribed on your heart.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very nice. So would you pass that sitter down? I want to look up that pasuk, the one at the very end. Because we say it at the end of Yom Kippur in Hamavdil. I want to see where it comes from. It's in Hatavas Halom at the very end. Leif Echol B'Simcha Echol Leif B'Simcha Echol Lach Mecha Shusei B'Leif Togi Necha Ki Kvar Ratzav Elokim Es Ma'asefa. Ecclesiastes is Kohelas, right?
Yeah.
So it's Kohelas.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Kohelas Perek Tes Pasuk Zayin. I know on that last point what he's saying about guarding your tongue means more than watching what you're saying, that the Rebbetzin mentions a lot in the context of these conversations about the occupation with people about Lashon Hara and rallies and things like that, and which is good, and it makes people aware, but the depth of the matter really is to find out where it's coming from, mm-hmm. as opposed to just saying, well, watch what you say, but where is all this negativity coming right. from? Where is that verbal venom derived from. Let's look at some of those things to try and really be misaking what the words that come out of our mouth. I think it's a very good point.
Yeah.